This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com. We're in part three of our Awaken the Wonder series. Love that. Kicked it off Easter Sunday. We're continuing today. So you might want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. That's where we're going in our scriptures. We're diving in today to week three because I feel like this Awaken the Wonder series is just, man, it's right at the meat of where we're at. This morning we sang, Awake My Soul. I was about to take off like space shuttle there. It's like, that's what's happening in this generation, an awakening. I don't know if you saw it, but yesterday on both coasts, on the West Coast and East Coast, there were large gatherings, like 100,000 people getting together on the anniversary of Azusa Street, the revival 110 years ago, whatever. It's like, major move of God, and believers today saying, God, would you visit our nation again? How many of you know it's time? It's time for an awakening. And, you know, honestly, it's revival isn't an event. It's us. It's us being awakened to wonder, you know, the wonder of who God is and what he wants to do in our lives. And that's what this series today is about. I believe every person was created with a specific design, a plan, engineered in the mind of Almighty God, not created in some primordial soup pond somewhere. You were on God's mind even before this world was formed. He had your destiny, your purpose in mind. In fact, he says in Ephesians 2:10, God has made us what we are. This is the New Century version of the scriptures. And God made us to do good works. Say good works. Which he planned in advance for you and us to live our lives doing. I love that. Ephesians 2:10 is a great verse. And I think that my job as a pastor, see, is not to do the ministering. My job is to equip you to do that. What were you created to do? That's what I have a passion to see you rise up and find out what it is and then release you to do that. And Ephesians backs me up on that. That's what we have as a goal here at Restoration. We're going to look at some heroes, especially one guy in the Old Testament, Joshua, who had that same plan, that purpose that God created him for. But lest we just think it's all about, you know, worshiping at the feet of heroes, today's purpose is for you to have confidence in the call of God on your life. It's really what we're going to talk about today, awakening confidence that God created you to do something amazing that no one else can do. You know, there's only you on the planet that's you. There's never been another you, and there'll never be another one. So what's the point? What's the purpose of you being here? We certainly want to know God, to love him in return. That's the purpose of you being here. But until heaven, there's this time in between, right, that we have more to do than just warm a pew in a church. We've got, you know, works that Ephesians said that God created us to do. And Joshua was this man who I'm sure felt just as inadequate for the task as we do. I mean, what a challenge he was handed. Take the place of Moses. Perfect. You know, I actually interviewed Charlton Heston one time, the guy that played Moses in the movie. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be that guy. Wouldn't want to be the guy everybody's looking at, the big dog, and now it's your turn. How would you like to follow those footsteps? You know, just like, no thanks. I'm sure Joshua felt that way. And not only was he following this major dude, but he also was given this huge task of leading the children of Israel to the promised land. Massive, major challenge. Joshua certainly needed some help to do that. And I found it interesting as I was studying this, I backed up just a little bit to when Moses gave the blessing to Joshua. It says in Deuteronomy 34, Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because, why? Because Moses had laid his hands on him. See, there was a blessing of the previous generation to the next team that was going to take the task, take the baton. And we haven't had a lot of that. You know, I mean, I talk a lot about fathers and the importance of blessing the next generation. That's why that 33 series is so important to me. But we live in a generation who's desperate for that kind of a blessing, to know that they were created for a purpose. And we can give that blessing to this generation, but not if we don't understand it ourselves. Not if we're not awakened to it so we can pass it on. So today let's talk about gaining confidence in God's call. Four times in Joshua chapter 1, God says, be bold, have confidence, you know, believe in what I've called you to do, be determined. And so if we're going to try to muster that confidence, we need to know where that comes from. So there's about three or four sources I'm going to list today for you if we have time. The first one is this: if you're going to have confidence in God's call, you have to let go of doubt. You have to let go of it. You can't nurture it. You can't You can't, make it your best buddy. You got to kick it in the pants and get it out of here. It says in Joshua 1:9, be bold and strong. Banish fear and doubt. For remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Doubt is the single most, the top FBI's most wanted list of doubt killers. If you have doubt, if you allow doubt in your life, then you're not going to have confidence in the call that God has for you. James tells us that anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown up and down by the wind. You're up and you're down. You're moved this way, that way. Whatever pressure, whatever insecurity, whatever opposition comes your way, you're just squishy. You got no backbone. You're just moving around without any kind of purpose or direction. We are controlled by circumstances rather than us controlling the circumstances around us. So what causes that doubt? How does that get in? Well, there's two things I think that we're vulnerable for doubt to creep in. One is we compare ourselves to other people. And we think they got it so good and that they're all that, but you know what? They don't. That's the big facade. Remember Wizard of Oz? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's like a lot of us just have, everybody wants to see the big show, and behind the curtain, we don't want to take a peek. In reality, we all got a curtain and stuff behind it, and we compare ourselves to others who we don't know the whole story. We just see the external. We think, whoa. But then you find out what's behind the curtain. It's like, whoa, right? And so we don't compare ourselves to other people. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, people who compare themselves to other people are fools. In common language, you're stupid, right? Don't be stupid. Don't compare yourself to other people. That's not God's call for your life. Your call is to be you, the best you God created you to be. God made you to be you and nobody else. So don't compare. You know, you can't compare yourself to others. When I first became a pastor, I spent the majority of my career as a broadcaster. So I knew how to do that. It's pretty good at it. But then when I was called to be a pastor, I'm like, first of all, I'm an older guy, right? So don't quite know what I'm doing. I got 30-year-old bucks running around doing this stuff. And I look at these iconic pastors. I'm thinking, I can't be that guy. Well, then I've learned I'm not supposed to be. I'm supposed to be me. You know, God created me to be me, no one else. I'm in this role, but it's going to look like me because that's who I am. What you see is what you get. And if I compare myself to others, I get insecure. I back up. I try to maybe duplicate what I see. It's not going to work. Not going to be as effective as me being who God created me to be. The second thing that causes doubt to creep in is past failures. You begin to just remember, I kind of didn't do so well in that situation. I kind of blew it there. What if people find out? Anybody else have past failures besides me? Anybody? Couple of you. All right. The rest of you are liars. We got to deal with the sin of lying. Everybody's got past failures. You think, oh, but God only uses perfect people, right? The Bible is full of these perfect people, these golden statues of perfection. Have you read your Bible? Right? It's like Moses, the big dog. He was a murderer, right? And of course, if you keep going, then you find out David was not only a murderer, but an adulterer too. And he was called a man after God's own heart. Abraham gave his wife away twice, lied about her being his sister. What a wimp. Jacob stole the family inheritance from his brother. Paul was a religious terrorist. And Peter was a numbskull, right? He was a drunken, carousing, salty sea dog. and we think God only uses perfect people. It's not true. God seems to delight, in fact, in using the knuckleheads. Aren't you glad? I qualify for that. You don't have to be perfect. God loves to take weak, wimpy, dysfunctional, imperfect people and do amazing things through them. And the beauty in that is he gets the credit then, not you, not me. God uses people with checkered pasts. Have you ever read that we've all sinned? All means all. I looked up in the Greek. All means all, okay? So every one of us have fallen short. It's why we need a Savior. And I'm glad that God uses people like that. The second way we build confidence in our calling God, first is we doubt our doubts. We deal with them. We get rid of them. The second thing we do is we look for the promise of God. That's the only thing worth investing in, is what God says. Joshua 1:3, I promised Moses, God says, I would give you this land, so I will give you every place you go in the land. It's a promise of God. Do you know there are over 7,000 promises in the book? So we got to put our nose in the book. We got to hear what God says. That's the only place we can have confidence, is in what God says. God promises at least three things to Joshua here. You can hang on to these for yourself. Number one, strength. It says in verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you. Talk about being tough, all right? No one. The second promise was success. We talk about success. Listen, God doesn't delight in failure. He wants you to be a success, but here's the deal. You can't just preach success, otherwise you're just a motivational speaker. There's a reason for the success. God says you will succeed if you do what I tell you to do. That's where success comes from, doing what he says. The goal isn't just success, it's success in something that matters, right? Someone has said, someone smarter than me, that, you know, I don't fear success, I fear at succeeding in something that doesn't really matter. And what matters is obeying what God called us to do in whatever arena that's in. The third promise was support. Verse 9 says, I'll be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. That's an amazing promise. Because sometimes we go some pretty dark places, don't we? Some tough spots. Most of you know Renee Hale, who's, she and her husband Bob are just so dear to our church. And we consider them kind of the grandma and grandpa, or mom and dad of the congregation. So, you know, so many people. Renee's traveled the world and spoken, and Bob, her husband, is just a great support. And Renee suffered a pretty serious stroke on Tuesday. She's 80 years old. So, you know, don't like to see people go through hard times. As a pastor, you want to fix it. You know, you want to take it away. And you just always can't. But Jesus promised wherever you go, wherever. So I just say that so you'll pray with us for Renee. Her condition is stable, and she'll be heading to a rehab, a stroke rehab clinic, probably tomorrow. So just keep praying, and I look for the day to see her walk back through these doors. It'll happen. Joshua depended on that kind of strength. He had to. You know, so I cheated, and I fast-forwarded through the end of the story because I want to see how it ends, right? And I get to do that because there's the book, and it'll tell us in Joshua 23, at the end of his life, he says, I'm about to go the way of all the earth, and you know that not one of all the good promises God gave us has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Church, listen to me. You have got to stand on those promises. You've got to keep your nose in the book. Take one of those 7,000 and put your name on it, okay? At least one. And stand on it. Despite what you see, you know, when things get tough, that's what you depend on. Tells us how to do that, Joshua 1:8. It says, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. There's two key words. You might want to circle that. Meditate and do. You're chewing on it. You're taking it in. You're absorbing it. You're the cow chewing its cud, right? You're ruminating on the word of God continually. Can happen, you know, it doesn't have to happen on Sunday mornings. It can happen throughout the day. You have scripture. You have things that you're listening to. You're memorizing. You're focusing on to help get that word of God in you. And then you don't just learn it. You do it. You act on it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That's what God told Joshua. Your ability has very little to do with it. Aren't you glad about that? When I read that, I'm like, whew, okay. You know, my ability isn't the deal. It's God's ability that I'm leaning on. The third thing is you lean. You lean on the Lord. You lean into him. Totally dependent, completely, exclusively. Nothing else. Everything else is going to let you down. Eventually it will. Joshua 1:5, no one will be able to defeat you all your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forget you. That's a super comforting word for me. I love how it echoes what Jesus said. When Jesus was here, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's about to check out, right? The disciples are freaking out. What do we do? Jesus was their Moses, right? It's like, he's our leader. What do we do? He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. I'm in you. I gave you this life. I'm for you. No one is more for you than I am. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit, right? To live in us so that we could fulfill the works that God gave us. We can't do it apart from that. We lean into him. We rely on his strength instead of our strength. Instead, we tend to lean on ourselves, our own ability, or something else that really isn't helpful in the long run. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lean into him, and he will make your paths straight. I said to the first service, and this is something I learned early on. Because I'm a relationship guy. I love people. So it really, I don't do well when people aren't doing well. You know, it just emotionally, it just drains me. And the picture I had of that was like 1,000 extension cords plugged into me. And people trying to draw their power from me. And I'm like, that's not going to work. We got to plug it in upstairs, right? I mean, as much as I want to be there for you and I want us to be there for each other, and a part of Tuesday nights, guys, is you can't do it alone. You need brothers around you to knock you in the head once in a while, keep you sharp. But your power comes from one place. That's where it must, or you're going to run out of power really quick. And I believe that, you know, people who say, well, that's just a crutch. You just have God as your crutch. I say, well, no. God isn't my crutch. He's my pacemaker. I couldn't even stand without him. When my heart is tempted to faint and fail because of the challenge, the size, my weakness, whatever it is, I depend on him. I lean into him for his strength. Apart from that, man, all I've got's me or other people, and both of those aren't reliable. How many of you know that? Have you learned that? I and people around me aren't that reliable. I love them, but I'm not going to lean on them. I'm going to lean on one place where my strength comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the scripture says. The fourth way that you build confidence, you're not going to like it. You launch out. You step out. You build confidence by doing it. Stepping out and walking where he's told you to walk, and you're going to have to change your underwear. I'm just telling you. More than once. Keep a spare pair is all I'm telling you. Step out in faith and obey what you know God has called you to do. Joshua and the children of Israel, it happened in Joshua 1:10. Then Joshua issued instructions to the leaders of Israel to tell the people to get ready to cross the Jordan River. Get ready to move. Church, have we heard those words before? Recently and frequently. Get ready to move. I don't have time to tell you the story, but I believe that's the message to our church right now, this season. Get ready to move. Man, you know what? Naturally, we wouldn't want to do that. We'd just sit around and say, well, I don't know if I feel like it. Or you see the challenge, and you're like, burn me once, shame on me, right? It's like, I don't know. And God says, that's not an option. If you want to follow me, if you want your confidence built, you're going to have to step out. That's how it happens. Normally, you know, the Jordan River, been there, lived in Israel for a while. Jordan River is about the size of the Platte, not a whole lot there, right? It's about 100 feet wide and maybe 20 feet deep at the deepest. Not too impressive until the spring rains come. You ever seen that Platte get out of its banks? It goes pretty crazy. Nothing compared to the Jordan that becomes this torrential, intimidating force that you don't even go near in the springtime. Guess when God asked Joshua and the people of Israel to cross the Jordan? Just take a guess. Perhaps it was springtime. Absolutely it was. So no wonder it was an intimidation factor. They could have thrown a stick and built a bridge before, and now it's like, what? What are we going to do? How are we going to get across? Remember we said last week, you don't ask how. You say what? What is it, God? What do you want us to do? You know, when they approached the Red Sea, God did something amazing, right? What did he do? He parted the waters. Awesome. They're standing there waiting. Okay, God, do your thing. He's like, no, you do your thing. He asked them to step into the water when it's a raging spring torrent. Get your little toes wet. He's asking them to participate, isn't he? It's like, I did it for you once. Now you're gonna participate. You're going to step, and you have something to do with this. You're going to step out in faith. You're going to have confidence in what I've told you to do. And he wouldn't do it any other way. They had to take the first step. And you know that first step is always the hardest. You know, when he gives you something big to do, and it's like, oh, you know, oh. It's like for me, it was asking this beautiful woman to marry me. It's like, dang, I want that, but, you know, what am I getting myself into? Risk worth taking. I mean, seriously, why are we afraid of the thing that really brings us the most joy and pleasure? It must be a lot like getting up on a big old 1,000-pound angry bull. Right? With big old pointy horns and red flaming eyes and smoke coming out of his nostrils. And then what happens? You do that, you become a big hero and a celebrity, and you get your picture on the front page of the paper, and your name is Zane Cook. Would you welcome Zane Cook, professional bull rider? I made them sit through two services just for you, all right? So they had to endure this twice, but it's worth it because we had this young buck with us yesterday at the men's breakfast, and he had a home run. We had almost 50 guys from different churches together, and you know, when we knew that the Bull Riders were coming to town, I just had this bing, you know, idea, but I didn't know how to pull it off. I said, Mike, you're a cowboy. We gotta find us a Christian bull rider. And we didn't know where to look, honestly. It's like there's got to be at least one, right? And Mike did some research, and we come up with this wild man, Zane Cook. And it's like, who is he? I don't know. We invited him for breakfast, and boy, are we glad that we did. And yesterday, Zane just let us in on kind of what it's like to be a bull rider, which I have absolutely no idea, except the pastor is pretty close. Pretty close.
I'm going to let you find out if you want
to. That's okay. It's okay. Not too old. Zane, it's awesome, man, to have you. Thank you for just taking time out of your schedule. I know you're on the road all the time. And here's the thing, guys. Listen, you know, this guy has been ranked as high as sixth in the world at 22 years old. And it's like, he's kind of dangerous. I don't know. I'm going to back up a little bit because he could probably hurt me. But, you know, I know better than to know that it's been a Cinderella ride for you. It wasn't the pumpkin coach, right, that got you here. It was a whole lot of bumps and bruises. Tell us about how this all started. How old were you when you first kind of got the desire to do this?
Ever since I can remember. I remember when I was about 3 years old, you know, hopping around all over the house in my hippity hop and my cowboy hat.
And your diaper. Yeah, I could see it. Yeah.
Yeah. We'd be watching bull riding, and my dad would always be yelling at me to get out of the way because I was hopping around in front of the TV on
That's
my hippity
awesome.
Hop. But,
That's awesome.
No, I mean, I always wanted to do it, and then when I was 12 years old, you know, I finally talked my parents into letting me try it and everything, yeah. and then I finally did it and just been doing it ever since.
I haven't looked back.
Yeah.
And I can imagine you've probably had a couple of experiences with kind of maybe it not going so well, you know? You didn't get to number six without a few trial and errors, right?
That's for sure. I mean, I'm kind of in a little down point right now. I'm glad that you're actually speaking on confidence.
Yeah.
Because confidence is everything, you know, and if you don't have confidence, then you're not going to succeed in whatever it is that you want to do. Yeah. And that's talking about bull riding. That's talking about going and trying to get a job.
Right.
Or just, you know, living everyday life.
Exactly.
And if you're not confident in yourself, then, or not fully confident in even making it to heaven, then you're probably not going to make it to heaven.
Yeah, that's exactly,
you know?
Right.
So, I mean, confidence is everything.
That's right. I know St. Joe, the arena wasn't too kind to you this weekend, right? Didn't go quite as well as you wanted. And I want to hear some of the war stories. I want to hear, you know, it's easy to applaud the guy, and he's on the paper, and it's like, whoa. But I bet you laid in the dirt. I bet you ate some dirt once in a while, didn't you?
Yeah. What's funny is if you YouTube me, it's all wrecks mostly. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
you know, getting knocked out here and then, yeah, getting tumbled here and getting flipped here.
Because we like to see those things.
Yeah,
right?
You know, that's a crowd pleaser. But, no, it's not always perfect, you know. It's not always ups. There's a lot of downs. There's a lot of times that you're gonna be laying in the dirt. And sometimes get knocked out or break bones or whatever it is, you know, and that's kind of whenever it comes down to the point of, do you really want to do this or do you not?
That's exactly right. That's good.
I don't know. I just always try to cowboy up and get back on, you know. And
yeah. Because you got a praying mama. That's why how that works right there. I love what Zane said yesterday. There was a young man that got hurt. I don't know how young he was, but he got hurt, I guess, Friday night. And somebody asked how he was doing, and Zane said, well, all his chickens ain't returned back to the yard yet, but, you know, it's classic. Well, you know, this is the perfect, honestly, Zane, to have you here today, talking about Joshua and what our church is going through, because, you know, we're facing some scary bulls. You know, it's like you feel like you've been given a desire in your heart, and yet I'm sure you get this experience when you're just about to climb over that fence and get on the back of that beast, and you're just like thinking, well, I don't know if this is a smart man's decision or not, right? But you told me, though, that the most exhilarating feeling you get is when you're on the back of that bull and he's just bucking as hard as he can. And you said there's nothing in the world that replaces that feeling, right?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's bulls that you get drawn and you go back and find him and you're looking up at him, you know, and you're like, what in the world did I get myself into right here, you know? But whenever you just crawl over there and get on him and everything just kind of, just a peace of mind, you know, and And then when you nod your head and everything's happening and you know you're in that right spot and there's he can't do backflips to buck you off, you know, then that's where it's at right there. That's cool. That's life for that's me, cool. you know, and that's where I get my high from. And that's what awesome. I live for.
Well, you know, when I first found out about Zane, Mike brought me his name. We started researching because I can't just bring some, you know, Yoo-hoo cowboy up here. I got to find out what's going on with him. So I began to look at some, you know, some stuff on him. I went to his Facebook page. It's Zane Cook, professional bull rider, right? So if you want to follow Zane, you can do that there. But what struck me was every stinking one of his Facebook posts, unlike my own, I whine on Facebook, you post scripture. So what you do? Every one of his posts is a verse of scripture. And I'm like, this guy's the real deal, you know? And at 22, I know on the road, it's got to be a little hard, you know? Temptations and stuff that face you, not only the temptations that come with success, but the temptations that come with failure, right? Feeling, you know, how you feel about yourself. And that's why I think this is a great opportunity for us to meet somebody who, you know, yeah, you're successful and you're, you know, you're kind of in an arena that most of us will never play in, but the principle remains the same. Where your strength comes from remains the same.
Exactly. I mean, if you don't have God in your life, then you're in for a rough, hard time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just all there is to it. And I used to be into all the rough and way of living and everything. And then I really got close with God, and it's just kind of, even on my downs, you know, it's just smooth sailing.
That's cool.
And you just got that peace of mind, you know. But I really appreciate you guys, you know, letting me be here. And I had an awesome time yesterday morning. Awesome. And hope I didn't bore everybody too bad. And,
I don't think so. Because we had eggs, right? So it's okay.
Yeah.
You have food, you can play with anything.
That's right.
What's awesome, though, is yesterday at the breakfast, Zane was super honest about his I would say, your struggles. I mean, you just let us have it. And you weren't trying to put up a facade like your super Christian stud guy, even though we all know you are. There's an S on that chest. I know there is. But that's what's awesome is that, you know, here's a guy that eats dirt on a regular basis, right? But he gets back up and he rides again. And that's exactly what the Christian life is all about. And I'm proud of you, man. I'm so glad that we got to cross paths. You got a new fan base in St. Joe, not just because of your awesome bull riding, but because of the man of God you are, all right? We love you. Appreciate you, bro.
Awesome, guys. Thanks I for appreciate coming it. Out. Thank you.
All right, dude. Take care, man. Thank you. That's a God thing right there, you know? And he'll sign your papers that you brought. I just want you to know that if you want him to. And Hannah's there to do the karate kick. If any ladies get a little too close, she's there. I love that, man. You know, God is so good to just encourage us along our own journey, whether it's corporately as a church, whether it's personally as an individual. You know, if you're not living for something great, if you're not eating dirt once in a while, you're probably not pushing the boundaries enough. Someone said, you know, if you're not meeting the devil once in a while, you're probably going the same direction. So, you know, you kind of want to be going against the current. And it's going to be tough sometimes. It is. But I'd rather have life. Jesus said life to the full. That means that we're going to have to lean into him. We're going to have to deal with doubt. We're going to have to look into his promises and lean into God. And to take a step, even when the river's raging at spring level. And these leaders of Israel did that in Joshua 3. I want you to read that on your own as homework this week. They did that. They stepped out. And the leaders went first. Let me tell you, if you don't have a people in your life that are challenging you and leading you and going first, don't follow those guys. There are people that will talk a good talk, but they don't walk it. They think it's a good idea, but they've never tried it, you know? If I'm going to learn about bull riding, it's going to be from a guy who's done it. You know, a guy who's taken a few knocks, got some bruises to prove it. And these leaders, I mean, they did it, man. They manned up and then they stepped out into this raging stream fed, you know, torrent. And they stepped out, you know, toe deep. They got into the ankles and nothing happened. So they kept walking. They get up to their knees, still nothing. They get up to their hips. They keep going. They get up to their chest. So God, you better do something right now. They're up to their armpits in water. What they didn't know is what God was doing behind the scenes. 17 miles upstream, he had already dammed the river, and it took 17 miles of water to to pass in front of them before it got to a point where they could walk across. But they didn't know that. And of course, at the right time, just before it got above the nostrils, God came through. And the children of Israel walked into the promised land and took the possession that God had promised to them. And that's, I believe, where we all come to. If you wait for a perfect scenario, you know, if it's all got to be perfectly laid out, people ask Chris and I all the time, how do you guys do it? We've been in ministry for 35 years, and it's like, how do you do that? We never know how it's going to work out. We really don't. Does that scare you? That doesn't scare you. We really don't know. All we know is that God said, do it. So you do it, and you just take a step at a time. Sometimes the water gets pretty high, and you don't know, but you keep walking. And Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 11, verse 4, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. If you're waiting for it to be perfect, guess what? It'll never be perfect.
That's right.
So I want you to know that. You got to take a step, even when it doesn't look like what you were thinking, but you know in your heart this is the way to go. You walk. You jump in. On Monday, I met with about 8 different contractors who are going to help us take the step this church needs to take into that room right over there. I mean, we're ready. It's past due. We've got to get there. If we're going to do the things that God's called us to do, we got to be in there. We're out of room. We can't grow anymore, and that's not a good place to be. So we met with these guys, and we met with them at 9, and our contractor had them lined up, just bam, bam, bam. And by about 1:30, my mind was mush. My synapses had turned to jelly. It's like, I got nothing left. I was just overwhelmed. It's like, all the decisions and all the stuff that has to happen. And, you know, it was overwhelming, but it was overwhelming in a good sense. I felt like I was in the river tumbling, right? I was in the deep end, and that's exactly where I want to be, over my head. When God says, get ready to move, guess what you do? You get ready to move. You don't ask how. Last week we said you replace your how with what? Wow. You want to be so wowed with wonder, with the amazing, awesome opportunity to follow God wherever he's leading you. You don't have time to worry about the how. You just ask what? What is it, God? What do you want me to do? And you start stepping. And the water might get a little high once in a while. And when it's over your head, guess what? You just start swimming. You just go with the current. Let God take you. I was so just, man, I was caught up in this Azusa revival yesterday, looking at the LA Coliseum and watching just generations of people just abandoned to God. You know, revival isn't an event. It's a people with their hearts awakened to wonder, who believe God can do great things and wants to in this hour and wants to use us to do it. That's called awakening. That's called a people that are ready for God to do with them what he wants to do. And I got to wonder, as I was preparing, you know, this message today, thinking about Zane being here, just thought, you know, there's so much, I believe, that God's holding out before us. But it's not that we're any different than generations before us. But I believe the opportunity has come to us now. And I just wondered, I just imagined heaven just holding its breath, saying, will they do it? Will they do it? Will they take a step? It's like they're waiting on us to see what we'll do. Hebrews says we have a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know what they're witnessing, but they're probably watching us. What are they going to do? It's their turn to run the race. I hope that they do. Hope they have the guts to do that. Hope they'll step out. Hope they'll get back up on the bull and do it again, you know? Give it another shot. Trust again. Isn't it interesting how God takes you through the ankle deep and then the knee deep and then the hip deep and then chest deep? It's like he gets you in deeper and deeper water. This is a big step. I know it. But I'm not going to get caught up in the how. I'm going to instead focus on the wow of following God. And I'll tell you what, the same is true in your life individually. I don't know what obstacles you're facing today. I don't know what challenges, what raging torrent is before you. But I know this, that God's not done with you yet. And his purpose is way beyond you sitting here in church on Sunday mornings. I'm glad you're here. It's fun. We have a party together when we get together. But now we get to go do the stuff. We obey his word, and then we do what it says, right? That happens everywhere we go, every situation we encounter. I believe it's time for us to step up and step out as a church and individually. And to be honest with you, a big part of us stepping out together corporately is you personally waking up the wonder in you and God using you in the way he wants to. Tell you what, there are a lot of ministry opportunities waiting on you because you are the minister. Wherever you go, what God's gifted you to do, the people he's put in your life, he's looking at you. Heaven's waiting to say, will they step out? Let's see if they will. People he'll bring across your path, the people that, even through your defeats. I'm kind of glad, Zane, you had a bad weekend. Sorry. Hope you have a better one next weekend. I'm glad that you came to us, though, on a down. You know what I mean? I'm not glad you didn't have a good weekend. I'm saying I'm glad we could be here together on a down weekend. Because it's great when you see somebody who, even when they're not, it's not going so well. They might be eating a little dirt. They haven't given up. And that's a man I'll follow. It's a man I'll lock arms with and go into battle with. And that's, I believe, the challenge to all of us today. You know, I don't know what you're going through, what doubts are just bombarding you today. To know how your confidence has been eroded, and you compare yourself with other people. You look at other marriages, you look at other people's kids, you look at other people's jobs, their houses. Don't we do that constantly? Compare ourselves with others, and we think, how come they have it so good and I have it so bad? I'm telling you what, God knows right where you're at today. He knows what raging torrent is before you. And on the other side of that stream lies your promised land. You step in today. Just stand to your feet if you would. Just want to pray for you before I let you go. Glad you came today. Again, if you're new, I'll be out there to give you a gift, to greet you. Glad to have you. Guys, I expect your butts back here Tuesday night. Just saying. All right? I'll be looking for you. Send my dogs after you if I don't see you. I'll send Zane after you if I don't see you. And his raging bull, right? So glad you came today. It's fun to be on God's journey, isn't it? It's a blast. I wouldn't want to do anything else, even when it's hard and scary. We don't know quite what's next. So close your eyes, bow your head for just a moment. Let's just spend some time with God, the God who created you, right? God who put you together, knew you, knew your name, had your story written out long before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, long before this world came to be. He says, I know you. I knew you then. I knew you now. Never kept my eyes off you. One time I've never left. Today, God, I thank you that you are the chief cheerleader in heaven today. Among those great cloud of witnesses, there's no one who's more on the edge of their seat, hoping, believing, Jesus, even praying. Your word says you intercede for us. You're wanting us to respond, even in the face of challenge. Thank you, Lord, for Zane and for his testimony. We just pray, God, that you would go with him today. Help him feel the support of these people behind him. More than the roar of the crowd in the stands, pray, Lord, he feels the hearts of these men and women who he shared his heart with, and or that he knows it. There's a great plan and purpose for him. You're going to use him in his field of endeavor, God. No matter what rank he is on the scale, thank you, God, that he's number one in your book, just as every one of us as a son or daughter of the Most High. And Lord, even as we today have talked about Joshua, what a great hero. What I believe the challenge is us today, we're now the generation on this earth. We're the ones, God, you've handed the baton to. We're the ones that have the opportunity to go first, to be leaders. I believe there's a world waiting also. People without a clue that they are loved and were created for a destiny. So God, may we have confidence, not in our ability, but in your ability. May we deal with doubt today, God. Take those doubts and send them packing. Instead, choose to believe your promises, God, to lean into you for our strength and to step out in faith, not in our own ideas and our own understanding, but God, only into the call that you have you've burned it on our hearts, God. We're branded for you. So while you're still, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just want to say, if you've never said yes to Jesus, that's the first step. You can't hope to succeed in life and to make it on your own. If you've never said yes to him, today would be a great day to make that call. If you want to say yes and get on that journey with your Father who loves you and made you, would you just slip up your hand real quick so I can see it and then slip it right back down? Anybody here today never said yes to Jesus and you want to make that call, just show me where you're at. So I want to pray for you specifically. I won't call you out, I won't embarrass you, but I just want to know you're here. Anybody here today? Church, have you been challenged today with just the ability to walk maybe in a scary place where you're not quite sure where it leads, but you know God's calling you there? How about you? Would you slip up your hand? Tell me if God's been speaking to you today. Awesome. Thank you. It's cool. Well, Lord, I thank you that together today we're walking steps, I believe you say, ordained by you. Thank you, God. You said if we commit our way to you, you would order and direct our steps, and that's our desire today. Father, would you as a church cause us, Lord, to not keep our eyes on the how, but, Lord, always be caught up in the wow. Father, the opportunity to partner with you, the God of the universe, the creator of all that we know and see. Lord, eternity is secure when we have our home fixed in you. But Lord, the here and now is what we get to deal with. Thank you, God, that you're not satisfied with just letting us coast on the sidelines. We don't want to be satisfied with just sitting on the riverbank, tossing a line in once in a while. We want to jump in, God. We want to be caught up, caught away in what you're doing. Father, it's worth it. You're worth it, Jesus. King of heaven, Lord of all. God, you have our lives. We surrender to you today, God, afresh and anew. Awaken the wonder in your church in this hour, Jesus. Because you love this city, Father. Help us love the city the way you love it and not ask how, but just get on the course of your choosing to experience and enjoy the wow of loving you, knowing you as our Father, and serving you and helping others come to know that same love. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.